Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
All right, how we doing? Welcome to official, second service Sunday, where everyone sleeps in and comes to second service. Man, if you made it, you are frontline in heaven. Good job. That's always like, wait a minute. That means, never mind. Are we doing okay? Yes. Is it been a weird week? I feel like it's just been one of those weeks where, like, no one quite knows what to say or do. We're just, like, here, and a lot adds into that. But, so my knee's feeling a little better. I can walk on it. A little better. My pride's still pretty bruised. That takes a while. The healing of heaven. Just a couple of quick things before we get into the word. Man camp, we had a couple people drop off this week, so we have one or two spots available. If you have not yet signed up for man camp, we went ahead and reopened that registration, so you can register for that against a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Running Springs. You don't want to miss it. So guys, make sure you get a chance to do that. And also, next Sunday, we have a very special announcement that we're very excited about. So make sure that you are here next Sunday so you can hear all about it and be part of it and how you can partner in the process of it. Sound good? Cool. So we're starting a new series today. It's called ACT. And we are going to be spending the next several weeks going through the book of Acts. And what I love about the book of Acts is these are people who have discovered Jesus, and now they are living their life encountering Jesus, encountering the Holy Spirit, but like you and I don't have Jesus right there next to you. I don't know if you've ever kind of had thought in your spiritual life, you look back on your Christian life and wonder, man, it would have been easier if Jesus was like next to me. Like, what if I could just have asked Jesus, right? If I can just ask him and go, hey, what do you think about this? Things would have been so much easier and better. But we see that's not the case with the disciples. Is one, every question they asked just got answered with another question because God hasn't called us to just be people who receive information, but has called us to be critical thinkers and think through things. But he goes off and he leaves. And so now we have these, you know, we have the four great gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Man, this is what it's like to walk with Jesus. And then he leaves. And we have the book of Acts. And the book of Acts chronicles it's like the sequel to the Passion of the Christ, to where what happens now, how do you now live and walk with Jesus without Jesus next to you? And if there is no other more applicable book for them, it's for us. I remember when I first got saved, I said, great, I got saved, what do I do? They said, go to Bible study. I said, great, I don't know what that is. They said, just a Sunday night, and we went to this little youth group Bible study in the youth pastor's home, and it was like 20 of us, and we went through the book of Acts. And it was so eye-opening for me to see that these men and women who gave everything of their heart to the Lord and see the incredible things that happened. You know, in the book of Acts, we're going to even see a story of how the first church in Europe was planted by two incredible women who are following Jesus. We see how the church began to spread a greater capacity that Jesus ever went to. Jesus stayed in his one country and just kept walking back up, you know, north and south, a little bit east and west. But he stayed right where he is. And before he left, he says, you're going to actually do greater things. And he also says, I'm going to send a helper. And it's in the book of Acts, it is literally designed to inspire you and I to act on the promises and the teachings of Jesus. This isn't just, hey, let's sit and talk. No, this is, let's go see what happens. You know, there's two different types of people. There's people who want to sit and they want to measure everything. They want to calculate everything. They want to know all the variables before they go forward. And then there's the rest of us like me who just like, let's see what happens. You want to see what happened, people? No, just me. Just me, like, I remember helping someone move, and the people that I were with, they're very analytical in their mind, and so they were measuring every piece of furniture and measured every piece of like the doorway to get into. As they were doing all the measurements, I just moved everything in. The job got done, but we had to do some repair on the thresholds. But, you know, whatever. We got the job done. And so this is really, again, thrown into, okay, now Jesus is gone. You've been saved, and he's sending a helper. And now let's see what happens. And so much of the book of Acts is some really neat stuff, but it's really messy, too. And what's good to know is following Jesus isn't black and white all the time. It's just going to be some mess. I remember in Acts, we'll read again a few, that there's a miracle that happens. Some guys are let out of prison. They go to the church, say, hey, we're let out. And they don't believe him, so they slam the door in their face. I think that's funny. Yeah, okay, sure. But let's go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to kind of get an idea of this, and we're going to look at some different ways that the Holy Spirit wants to interact with you. It says, in the first book of Theophilus, I always mess these up. I know. I'm sorry. This is now Luke, who's writing the book of Acts, also the gospel of Luke. Pretty simple, right? In grade 8, if that's how we name books. Whatever the author's name. But Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts. And so this is his continuation of his gospel. I have dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up or ascended to heaven, and after he had given the commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. So talking about the resurrection, he came back and spent time with them, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So again, we're responding to not only the promises of Jesus, and a lot of times we love the promises of God, but when it comes to the teachings of Jesus, we're like, maybe not so much. So this is really that response is, as we prepare to receive the Holy Spirit, we are standing on his promises, but we are students of his word, students of his teaching. We're going to live that out in his what he's doing. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, at the ends of the earth. And we talked a lot about that even just in 2019, what that looks like. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them with white robes. He said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So we're saying Jesus is coming back. We spent all last week talking about what the implications of Jesus being our bride, of us being the bride, Jesus being the groom, and him coming back for his bride. And so this whole thing is going on. They are caught up just staring at heaven going, that guy was, first he resurrected from the dead, and now we literally saw him ascend to heaven. Anyone else be weirded out at this moment? Like, you're just like, what else is going to happen? But how many of us have stopped, and in our faith, all we are doing is staring into heaven? Because the angel said, stop. Now you need to go into Jerusalem. Go do what Jesus said to do. And this was an easy commandment. Go into Jerusalem and wait for him. But so many of us, we're so caught up in Jesus. We're like, wow, Jesus is up there, he's up there. We're just looking into heaven, yet we're not doing, we're not acting on the very things he told us to do. And we're not called to live our lives that way. We are called to live spirit-filled lives in the world around us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So number one, write this down. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered. I don't know if you've ever been without power in your house. At first, you're like, oh, this is cool. But then when your battery on your phone dies, it's like, well, this isn't cool. Like, because we've been so, like, acclimated to all the things, like, we don't know what to do when our TV can't turn on, or we don't know what to do when we can't operate our phones. It's just, it's amazing. That's why I love, like, you go to airports. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Like, they've upgraded their seats, you know what I mean? Like, they're a little bit more comfortable. But if you've ever been to an airport that hasn't upgraded to where they have a USB at every single chair, you see a huddle of people against the wall, like sitting in pretzel form upside down on top of each other, just so they can get a little juice in their phone. A lot of times, that's how we are literally living, is we love Jesus, but we don't got no power. You've got all the apps on your phone, but you can't turn it on. And so we are called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Check this out. We're going to go to Acts 2, verse 5 through 13. It says, they were dwelling in Jerusalem. Good, they stopped looking at heaven, they went to Jerusalem. Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And the sound of a multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. Well, I skipped one, that's okay. And they were amazed and astonished. So the disciples gathered together. They're seeking Jesus together. It came in like a roaring wind, and tongues of fire began to fill these followers of Jesus, and they began speaking in tongues. Okay? This is a huge thing, especially as a Pentecostal church. We recognize that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is here, active, living today. So they begin speaking in these tongues, and they're in the middle of Jerusalem, and during the day of Pentecost is actually a Jewish celebration where many from all over the place, they come back to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so you have people there from all different nations, all different countries, all different languages. And God chooses to use a spiritual gift called tongues. So is this, the Holy Spirit is falling upon them. They begin to speak in the languages, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of them in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia. There we go. I got it. Again, medication. Loss of hours, sleep. Egypt and all parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome. So you have a collected group of people, both Jews and proselytes, Jews and non-Jews, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But there's always mockers, you know that, right? There's always mockers. They're just drunk. They're just drunk. They're crazy. You have people like, oh, those church people, they're crazy. They're crazy. You're always going to have the mockers. What's interesting about this, God is up to a new thing. If you look back in Genesis, you hear the story about the Tower of Babel. And it's at the Tower of Babel that people were united to the point that they were trying to create a structure that they could reach God so they could be God. And God, what he does is he destroys the structure and he scatters the people. He confuses the language. Because under their own devices, the unity was a dangerous thing. But here we see the God doing the opposite of the Tower of Babel. He's unifying people, speaking the mighty works of God all in one tongue so that everyone can understand. Why? Because God is doing a new thing to unify the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, because he wants us to act. He wants us now to respond to the promises and teachings of Jesus. And so now we are empowered. Peter, who's this kind of guy who followed Jesus, but he couldn't take his foot out of his mouth most of the time, not that eloquent, he didn't have his act together, not educated, suddenly gives the most eloquent, one of the greatest sermons ever done. In Acts 2:41, we kind of see the responses. Those who received his words were baptized and were added that day by 3,000 souls. God is doing something new. We are in the new age called the church. And this is that inauguration of being not only covered with the Holy Spirit, but sent out to do his word, to do his teachings and stand on his promises. Now, the miracle in this is huge, especially if you've grown up in Pentecostal church. The miracle of Acts 2 is not speaking in tongues. That's not the miracle. That's the tool. The miracle is that people from every different language could understand the mighty works of God. The miracle are the souls that are saved. So if you pray for healing and you receive healing and then you give your life to Jesus, the miracle wasn't the healing. You gave your life to Jesus. You know some pretty stubborn people. Like, you can, their leg, that's going to get healed, but their mindset, their perspective on things, that's going to take the real act of God. And so we have to recognize that everything that God does, every miracle that he does, is purely to get people to know Jesus. Every time that this hopefully should change the way that we even pray. It's not so that your leg stops hurting or for the cancer to go away. The heart has to be so that people come to know Jesus. Because at the end of the day, cancer can be healed, legs can be healed, but you're still going to die. Ask Lazarus. He was raised from the dead just to die. He died later. He's not walking around currently. At least I hope not. God is doing a new work, and it's open to all people. Do you see the incredible richness of diversity in that list? Do you grab a hold of the fact that God is so interested in people? His greatest creation, his most treasured possession. People are God's favorite. And he has empowered you and I to reach them. And so he's going to give you tools in order to do that. But if we're so caught up in just, okay, Jesus in heaven, we don't do the things that he is asking us to do, you're never going to experience the tools. What if we begin, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but what if we really begin to desire God's empowerment, not just for our benefit, but so more souls can find freedom? One of the things that my prayer in this whole series is this idea of revival. Revival is not about people who don't know Jesus coming to know Jesus. That's salvation. Revival is someone who's come to know Jesus already, but fell asleep and has been woken up to realization that this isn't just real. This is important and needed in our culture today. To be able, if you go back and study revival after revival, revival throughout history, it all comes back when the church decides to go, that's right, we're supposed to follow Jesus. And so the way we follow Jesus, one of the first things is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That we're empowered by it. In other places in Acts, when Peter teaches, he says, "Is confess your sins, come know Jesus, be baptized in water, and be filled with the Holy Spirit." It is important that we daily walk in this. The next thing is number two, write this down, that we are encamped in community. It's one of the things I love about Jesus' teaching, I love about the church. It is very spiritual, but it's also very practical. And what I love about, even within the practical, is very spiritual. There isn't really that weird definition. We don't ask you to jump around on one foot and say like a chant and like tap your nose three times and, you know, sacrifice a virgin or a goat or something like that. That's craziness. It's just very practical. Look at this. In chapter where it's going, in the next verse in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, that's what we're doing right now. We're devoting ourselves. When you make Sunday a big deal, what you're doing is you're devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching. Not me. I'm not an apostle. We're opening up the scriptures. The ones who have paved the way for us to receive God's word. This is devoting yourself to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. This isn't, you know, Bilbo Baggins or anything like that in Orlando Bloom. This is, fellowship literally means just being with people. Being with people who can encourage you, can correct you, can challenge you, can champion you. People who allow them to know who you are. This is fellowship. It's why connect groups are so important. It's why Sunday mornings are so important. All those different things. To the breaking of bread. Can we just say thank you, Jesus, that Jesus loves gluten? But seriously, like, you didn't have to mention food. Breaking the bread, sometimes we think, oh, that's just communion. Yes, but communion is all any time that you remember him in a meal with other people. He says, eat together. That's why we have a cafe. That's why we give food. That's why we do coffee. That's why we do those things. Why every connect group, we tell connect groups, have food. Have some sort of snack. Have something. Because there's something powerful that happens when you eat together. I love it. So I've said this before, but I used to work for Olive Garden going through college. And their slogan was, when you're here, your family. You know how many churches I'm seeing using that slogan now? Without breadsticks? Missed opportunity. So just a random note, I told Aaron last night, I do like a 1-hour review on Saturday, and I said, Aaron, we missed our opportunity. She goes, what did you want to do? So we could have passed toilet paper out to everybody. Because if you don't know, Costco has like none. But I'm like, no, but then I would be that guy pushing a giant cart of toilet paper that memes will be made of. So I'm not going to do that. But it says, and they devote themselves to prayers. This is why, you know, prayer and praise cards, it's the time that you take to pray for one another. Do you know that half the reason why we think Sunday should be a big deal isn't for you? Because we think that there's other people that need you here so you could pray for them. You know how many times you sit down, look around, go, huh, I wonder why they're not there. Or man, I was really hoping to see them today because I'm not going to see them any other time of the week. Do you know how much your presence, not only is it important to God, but it's important to the person who sits next to you, in front of you, or behind you? I learned how to take notes from a 14-year-old who sat in front of me at church because he was so meticulous. I'm like, oh, you should write down sermon notes? I didn't know that. All right. Just learning how to lean into God's word was just learning because this kid was there every single Sunday. And I make sure to sit next to him because he was teaching me. He was discipling me without him ever knowing it. The scary thing is I later became his youth pastor. and I put that kid through it. It says that, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. It's amazing when you start, when you celebrate the main things, the other things become just things. When you start celebrating Jesus, you start celebrating the kingdom, you start celebrating the things that God is about, the things that make us different, it's not a big deal. Like, I can make fun of Raider fans, I can make fun of Ram fans, but we still love each other. It's not that big of a deal. We can rouse each other, but it's not a big deal because we know that it's out of love and it's in a place because we love Jesus, we're seeking after Jesus. Except for the Raider fans, they're getting there. Yeah, that's called conviction, Ted. they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all and all as any had need. Anyone else see this as extreme? This is a little extreme, but it's amazing to see when people are in conversation, relationship, people go, "Oh, I can help you with that. Oh, I can take care of that. I can sell you that car. I can give it, you know, I'll just give it to you. I can go fix that pipe. I can go do this. I can do that." It's amazing to see when we live in community with one another. See, we don't always have to think of possessions. It's just sometimes saying, oh, I can help you with that. What happens when you start communicating and making and really encamping in community. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praying, praising God and having favor with all people. The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Why would that happen? They didn't say they put on an awesome outreach. They had a great banner outside. They had a mailing campaign. They lived open to relationship. People are striving and starving for community. And each age group does it a little different. Just calculate, how many times did you scroll through Facebook? How many times did you calculate, how many times did you scroll through Instagram? How many times did you sit and wait for a text message to come back to you? You're like, it's been 2 minutes, why haven't they responded? We're desperate for community. We're desperate to not only, we want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to belong. And do you know God has set up the perfect way for the church to fulfill that need in people's lives? You are worth so much. You are so valuable, not only to God, but the people who sit next to you. Can you imagine if you have an empty seat next to you, you just begin praying for that seat and saying, God, would you fill that with a person who needs community? And Lord, would you help me be the person who accepts them and shows them that they belong and all these different things. Just would you even just begin praying over your seats in your car and go, Lord, would you fill this with people who need you and need community? What if we said we're going to fight for healthy community? So when I hear rumors and gossips and slander, I'm going to say, no, I'm not about that. Or, oh, you have a problem with that person? Let's go talk to them right now. That's my favorite. No, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. Okay, cool. Because if you do, I'll go with you. It's good. No? Yes? No? Next time I hear, I'm just going to tell them, I'm going to bring them to you. Those are ways to fight to keep the community healthy. Because it's important that we stay in Campton community. The fact that this is so easy, so practical. We need people around us. We are literally better together. You cannot do it alone. So those of you first service on time change day, making Sundays a big deal. I hope you get pancakes after. Number three, engagement with people. Engagement with people. See this, we like this part. Man, we love the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I want to be powered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I got community. And then it's like, now you have to go outside your community, talk to people that way. Oh, wait, no. I just want my church people because they're weird, but they're not scary. It's a little scary sometimes. A little bit scary. But this is one of the reasons, and this is why when I talk about engagement with people, I'm not talking about friends and family, okay? I'm talking about people who look different than you. I'm talking about people who maybe are a different financial stature than you. Maybe people who are not as healthy as you. These are people who are living the life, usually the best that they can with the cards they've been dealt. This is one of my favorite verses in Acts 3. It says, now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. So as they were still meeting in their small groups, they had connect groups in homes that were talking about Jesus. They still went to temple in their Sunday morning ritual or Saturday morning ritual because it's Old Testament, it's lined up with New Testament, all those different things. It was about the ninth hour. Look, they went to first service. I told you guys were extra godly. It says, and a man lame from birth was being carried. Did this person do anything to become unable to operate on their own? That's from birth. This is all this guy knows. He's been carried from, they lay daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms and those entering the temple. So it would be like someone, they would have someone at the front here of our front steps of the sanctuary. They would come here every time we met, and they would just ask for money. They would ask for, hey, can you help me out here? Can you help me out here? Can you help me out here? And he knows this, he did this on a constant basis, lay daily at the gate. Was he ever getting what he needed? How many of you know money's not going to solve your problems? More money, more problems. That's how it goes. But it's not. Your material possession isn't going to solve your problem. And this is what they're able, Peter and John are able to see. It says, seeing Peter and John about to come into the temple, he asked to receive alms like he normally does. And Peter directed his gaze at him, and as did John, and they looked away and kept walking. No. They gave him a couple bucks. No. It says, look at us. Do you think this guy ever had made eye contact with a person? If so, very rarely. It's amazing to be seen, isn't it? Look at us. You're looking at me, it means I'm looking at you. Look at us. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk. He took him by the right hand and raised him up. Where's the act of faith in this sentence? Is it say rise and walk? No, that's easy to say. What did he do next? He said, all right, time to do it. Have you ever prayed for something and we're like you were afraid to pray because you didn't think it was going to happen? You're like, yeah, that's daily. rise and get up. And he reaches his hand down, took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. Was this guy unseen? No. Was he unhelped? How many people are we walking around, we see them, but we fail to do anything about it? And I'm not saying you're gonna raise someone up from the dead. You may not raise, see broken legs. Maybe you will. That'd be great. But half the battle is just allowing them to know that you see them and that you care. He could have not been healed and already had a better day than he's had in days. And they were filled with wonder and amazement about what happened to him. The purpose of every move of the Spirit of God is for a soul to be set free. That's why he saved us, so that we can go and save others. How many of you recognize there's a lot of problems in the world? It's got issues. You could probably put a few names to those issues. You ever wonder, God, why don't you do anything? God, why did you allow this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you change this? Why is no one saying anything about this? Why is no one standing up for this? Why is this still happening in my community? Why is this still happening in my home? And it's because the church is still looking so much up into heaven, and we're not acting on the promises and the teachings of Jesus. You know what the good thing about when we allow the Holy Spirit to move through us? You know what the good thing is when we act on the teachings and promises of God? You know what the really good thing is? You want to hear it? It's not about you. Woo! I don't know if you ever got in trouble at school or in trouble at home, and they're like, I know one of you did it. And you're like, oh my gosh, don't let it be me. Like, even if you know you're guilty or not guilty, you're like, just don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me, don't pick me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. That's the really neat thing. I have a lot of pride issues. Like, I hate being dropped off in front of places. I don't know if I'm the only person that does this. Like, even if I'm just running into Target, I'm like, Aaron, park, and I'll walk. Like, because I feel like every time if like she tries to like drop me off, I have to say, thanks, Mom. And sometimes I do. Because I get so embarrassed. I remember the other day, as you all know, my wife loves her car clean. So we went to the car wash, and we get up to the part where it's the self-vacuuming, and I can't really move at this time, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and she goes, oh, no, we're all vacuuming, and there's all these people around. I'm going, oh, my God. I look like such a jerk. I'm sitting in the passenger seat looking at my phone while my wife gets out and is vacuuming her car. And she opens my door, and she goes, lift up your feet. I'm like, oh, my God. All these people are staring at me. They're like, they think I'm like the worst human being alive. And I'm so embarrassed because for whatever reason, I think I'm the focus of that car wash. I generally think it's about me in this moment. And I'm like getting ready to get into an argument about just shutting the door. You don't need this side vacuumed. Because I thought it was about me. I love my wife. She speaks so gently to me. If you know redheads, it's gently still with a knife. And she goes, Eric, you don't know any of these people, and they don't care about you. And that felt so good. That was so nice to hear. And I sat back and looked chauvinistic, and it was great. But when it comes to Jesus and coming to living out, walking the Holy Spirit and doing these things, it's not about you. You see that they were giving glory to God. And the moment it becomes about you and God does do a miracle through you and you think it's because of you, you missed it. You missed it. Yeah, a miracle happened. That person was blessed. But you missed it. And so what I want us to do, I'm going to invite the worship team forward. The song that Jessica and the team are introducing to us is called God of Revival. And I want us to not just, I could say just sit back and listen. I don't want you to do that. We do enough to sit back and listen. The lyrics are up there. I want you to begin singing it, even though you don't know it, but I want you to begin singing it as a prayer. I want you to sing it as something that it is something that you are earnestly seeking after, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be encamped in community, and to be engaged with people. Can you imagine if we decided to wake up? Can you imagine if we said, hey, it's not about me, it's about Jesus, and we start living these things out? We're going to see as we continue our series through the book of Acts, there's different responses to the move of the Spirit post-Jesus. And it's going to be a lot of fun to process through together. But I want to invite you, if we could stand together. And I want you to take this moment to worship, to praise, to spend time with the Holy Spirit and ask for him to empower you. He may give you pictures. He may give you words. He may give you a list of people. He may give you a community. Write that down. Write it down. Get out your phone. Ignore all the social media. Write it down, or get your life journal out. Write it down. And I believe that God is going to be speaking to you. Anytime God's people says, Lord, speak, he speaks. But no, he's going to empower you to act. So we're going to worship together, and we'll conclude in just a little bit. But let's press into him.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.